Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. 28 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock, we are talking about interfaith marriage, navigating the distant differences in beliefs. Now, you know, interfaith, interreligious, interdenominational marriages, what are these and why? If at all, do they matter? You know, where does the Bible stand on interfaith marriage, and how do we navigate the relationships we have with people from different faiths? This is going to be our subject of discussion for this week. But today, joining us is Pastor Israel Njanga. So are you back with us, Pastor?
Yes, sir. I am back with you now. I am back with you. I was just a step a bit.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Now, yes. What, in your view, is an interfaith, interreligious, and interdenominational marriage?
All right. I did a bit of a research just to discover exactly what it means. But even if I don't go for the research, interfaith simply means that. Interfaith marriages simply means that marriage between people of different faiths or religious persuasions. However, they define it in the article written by someone here that says interfaith refers to interactions between people of different religious or faith traditions. That's the first definition of interfaith. Then they put a positive statement when they say it involves understanding differences and recognizing similarities and working on similarities together for peace and justice and healing in the world. That is according to news release on July to March 2024. That's the long and the short of definition of interfaith.
Yeah. Now, does a marriage between two Christians from two different denominations also count as an interfaith marriage?
Yes, definitely, because of the differences in terms of traditions, beliefs, and as well as expectations, because each and every church or denomination has this expectation and that one, that creates a difference between them. Also, I'm looking at a style of worship, different prayer styles as well, beliefs in particular, because they don't believe in this. They don't share the beliefs in most cases, and that is a cause of pain and confusion in the family, leading to quarreling in the family. Especially the confusion also goes to the children. They don't know whose nomination is the best, whether it's mom's or father. So there's confusion as well. And prayer times in the family, when they pray together in the family, that might be also conflicting styles of prayer styles.
Is it interfaith, although the faith in Jesus is the same?
Well, I would say interfaith in terms of beliefs now, because the doctrinally they differ. Yes, I understand this is one same faith, but now in terms of belief systems, as I'm referring to style of worship, style of prayer, and stuff like that. Just make one example: other churches, when they worship, they are cool, calm, and collected. Others, they jump up and down. that's the difference that is there. Is that for me makes it interfaith, because the other person might ridicule the faith of the other, you know, saying, your faith, your religion is not good as mine. That makes it interfaith in that sense for me.
I see. Now, what does the Bible say, if at all, about interfaith marriages?
Yes. Well, the Bible is not necessarily talking about interfaith marriages per se. In my research here, I'm looking at the emphasis of Paul. Paul is only emphasizing that people should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That is the emphasis here. that Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to through 16. And also, yes, if you go also to the Old Testament, you see that in 1 Kings 11, 6 through 10, King Solomon married many women. I want to believe that they're coming from different faiths. That could mean interfaith in that sense. Others were worshipping the God of heaven. Others were worshipping idols. And they even led him to worship their idols in the process. In that case, it looks like it resembles interfaith, even though it might not 100% do so. But in some ways, it is somehow an interfaith situation, in my view.
I see.
Yes.
Yes. So basically, what you are saying is that there's not really much about the interfaith.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In the scripture. Is not much, because during those days it was the worship of Jehovah and worship of idols in Bible times. Yeah, I don't see much a faith like it is happening today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what would you say is the significance of one's faith in the way that one navigates complexities of a marriage relationship?
Yeah. Well, let me start off by saying religion, politics, and sports, those are people are hard to change when it comes to those three aspects. And so if I value my religion, I need to protect it by not going to marry someone of a different faith, because my religion is very important to me. And it might be important to her. If you are staunch believers in our religions, how are we going to navigate the complexity of marriage? It is already complicated. By culture, the culture differs, marriage becomes complicated. Even religion itself, it complicates what you call the marriage in a serious manner, because it's not easy for a person to just change, you know, especially in the world of rights, human rights. There's religious right as well. So a person will continue practicing that which he or she believes, and then it creates a problem in the marriage. Mm-hmm. Once again, it confuses the children, because if they take sides with mom, that might enforce his authority on them, demanding that, hey, my rich is better than your mom's, something like that. It creates a problem indeed in the family, as I say. So maybe to conclude that one, that navigate in marriage relationship is just complicated. Even if people belonging to the same religion, there are complications. How much more if they belong to interfaith? It is even worse. Yes, that's my take.
Yes. Now, you sound like you are really quite doubtful about its success. Can these marriages be successful, the interfaith marriages, or do we have any success stories?
Well, the truth of the matter is I don't know of any success story. That is one thing I can say. I doubt that it will succeed. However, if they allow each other and compromise, maybe it may succeed in that way. But the chances are very slim, especially if they are staunch in their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. The success is, I think, in my view, is very slim.
My goodness. So are you then suggesting that you would actively discourage people to marry outside of their faith?
I'm a marriage officer. I do a lot of counseling. While I'm counseling, I sense differences when religions are not the same. It is as tough as I cannot understand it. So in my view, I want to encourage them to do so. Mm-hmm. Even though I cannot force, I can just tell them the pros and cons of it. But their choices is theirs at the end of the day. Yes.
So what you're saying is that it's good to just tell them that, I think that you must just call this thing off.
I tell them that, and then of course I can just give the counseling, but I cannot officiate in that wedding, because I know I'm part of the confusion that goes with it.
That's going to come up later on.
Yes.
But I must say that it's an interesting phenomenon. Do you think that it's prevalent in our day?
I think in our generation, it is becoming prevalent in one way or another. I'm afraid of making one example. in Johannesburg Central, there was a woman, an Adventist, who was living with a Muslim. Of course, they're not yet married, so we're arguing the cohabiting aspect. But one thing we troubled about is that the man was abusive physically to the man, and according to their religion,
the woman.
A woman is beaten if she missteps.
Yeah,
they're allowed according to Quran to beat the woman up, whereas the Bible does not allow such an abusive act against any other men or women. So there's a problem there.
My goodness. Now, Pastor, as we are, running towards a close of our relationship, if a person is in an interfaith, marriage, and they need counseling, I mean, they've already gotten in there and they really want help to navigate that space, what would be the first port of call? Would you say, no, guys, just divorce, man, leave this thing?
No. Well, once marriage is in existence, we don't encourage divorce in any case.
Oh, okay.
So we can look at the common ground, if there is any.
Mm-hmm.
Try by all means to advise them to focus on the common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Why trying to deal with the differences, you know. But the marriage can be sustainable if they focus on the similarities, if there are any, while in step by step we're dealing with the issues that are putting them asunder.
Now, would you consider a person who is married to a person who generally does not have faith, does not belong to any religion or church, would that be also defined as an interfaith?
You know, in this modern world, I would say yes, because, you know, people are calling religion, anything is religion today. Anything, even the worship of ancestors, they call it spirituality now.
Mm-mm.
You see? Yeah, they treat it as religion. In fact, it's accepted in South Africa as religion.
Mm.
That is why when the president of the state is being inaugurated, all these faiths have a chance to pray.
Mm.
So it is faith in a way. It is faith because they believe staunchly and strongly in what they think is right.
No, no. This is a person who just simply says, "Listen, I'm staying home. I'm not interested. I'm just
all right.
I'm just watching football. I'm enjoying my life. I'll go to the bar later. I'll just have one or two." This is a person who's really not invested in any religion of any kind.
Yeah.
Would we say that that kind of a setup is interfaith?
Yes. To that one, the answer is yes and no. If really there is no any connection with any religion, but what I was trying to stress is that my observation: people who don't attend any church, they do go for ancestral worship, which in a sense, that's where I come from. In that sense, I claim it as an interfaith. But if there is no connection altogether, then
I've seen people who simply just don't go to church. But they also don't have anything to do with ancestral worship.
Then I agree. I agree with you in that sense. Then it's not interfaith. It's just that one is a believer, the other is an unbeliever. Then that's it.
They're not even an atheist, by the way. They're just simply just living their lives, and they just want to have a free ride in life. They just want to go to work, come back, make money, and just have fun. That's all. They're not committed to anything.
Yes. Yeah, I know in that sense, there's no interfaith relationship in that faith, in that sense.
Okay, so this one would be just one person who is a believer and another is just a free ride person.
Yes.
Would that kind of marriage work in your view?
Well, yeah, we have seen them working. Some men are tolerant. They allow their women to just go and worship while they stay home.
Mm.
And they don't interfere in their practice of religion. In that sense, the woman also will go to church and come back and service the husband according to his needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have their own compromise, you know, to meet each other halfway. In that sense, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
No, that's a beautiful one. Mfundisi, thank you so much, man, for joining us. It's been
all right.
A lovely,
thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a fantastic afternoon, further.
Okay, same to you. God bless you and viewers and listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All
blessings
right.
to you. Bye.
Okay, then. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.